Welcome to Whatever Happened to Pizza at McDonald's, the podcast where I ask the question, whatever happened to the pizza at McDonald's? I'm your host, Brian Thompson. This week, as a violent mob threatened to overthrow the United States government because the emotionally disturbed man they like did not win a presidential election, I was busy doing one of the things investigative journalists such as myself do best, cultivating sources. A listener named Michael contacted me over the secure channel of Twitter.com's direct messages to let me know his aunt, known only as Aunt Bev, was employed at McDonald's in the late 1980s and through the 1990s, aka the heyday of McDonald's pizza. In the past, people have corresponded with me claiming to have had a hand in making McDonald's pizza, but I have taken these claims with a proverbial grain of metaphorical salt. Over the years of my investigation, I have been the victim of several hoaxes perpetrated by confidence tricksters. As such, I typically approach any lead that seems too good to be true with the utmost skepticism. This includes when people assert they worked at McDonald's during the late 1980s and early 1990s, and it also includes when I receive electronic correspondence from Nigerian princes promising great financial reward if I send them money. I happen to know for a fact that there cannot possibly be as many Nigerian princes as electronic correspondences I receive on their behalf. At the most, there are likely only 3 or 4, so I refuse to send money to any more of them than that. But Aunt Bev was unique among potential informants in that she agreed to talk to me about her experience on the telephone. While it is true that people are fully capable of disguising their voices by taking celebrity impression classes or holding a handkerchief over their receivers, my journalist training in the art of disguise has immunized me from such deceptions. However, I am nothing if not cautious. So, just in case I might pick up on any signs that Aunt Bev was not who she claimed to be, I made sure that when I dialed her telephone number, I also had another telephone ready to call federal authorities and have this imposter promptly detained. I guess we can just start by talking about your time at McDonald's. So can you tell me what your position at McDonald's was?
Cooking and drive-through and, of course, being an opener. I was there the first thing in the morning. I got things ready for the breakfast. I went down to the lower level with a list, filled up the supplies, the lids, and whatever else was needed, sugar, salt, pepper, whatever was needed in the upper part. And it wasn't a hard job, but you did go up and down stairs. And so, you know, I had to be careful, but I was. And the night shift, most people who worked there were young people, and so they weren't as responsible, not because of anything, but they were young, and you know how kids are, and they were kids. They were young. And so they didn't leave things in the best of shape. So in the morning, there was a lot to take care of because things were not organized, and things had to be organized. That was important, not only for the expediency of taking care of things, but that's how McDonald's wanted it. An interesting little story is that when my kids, they went to Catholic school, so they took a bus in high school. They went all through Catholic school, but in high school, they had to take a bus a little further than their elementary school was. So when I got the job, you know, they said, "Ma, you're kidding. You're going to work at McDonald's?" I said, "Yeah, why not?" They said, "Mom." I said, "Look, it's a job." I said, and I'm not ashamed to say I work at a McDonald's. I said, nothing to be ashamed about. Honest little living. Honest wage living, but they were a little bit appalled, and so it was, you know,
Well, did they change their tunes after they realized that you could get some sort of employee discount that they could take advantage of?
Yeah, well, that's right, but I'll tell you a little bit about that. When Well, when they were younger, you know, we never gave them fast food, Brian. We didn't take them to a McDonald's. My husband didn't believe in fast food, and so I never gave them McDonald's. And when they were young, and McDonald's, a kid in school, in class, maybe would have a birthday party at a McDonald's, all my kids were thrilled to go. They really were. It was a real treat for them. And so, of course, we let them go. But on a whole, we didn't give them fast food. We didn't raise them on fast food. So they never really ate a lot of that. The most of that they ate was pizza. They liked pizza. But not the other stuff, no.
Well, it sounds to me like their strict upbringing was perhaps a blessing in disguise because it fostered a greater appreciation of McDonald's.
Well, that may be so. I didn't say why. They just never grew up having it because, you know, in the day, Brian, McDonald's was like a way of life for people. It really was. People ate it way too much for their own good. I mean, you know, that kind of food is not conducive to healthy lifestyle. And we still today, my husband and I, we eat healthy.
You mentioned earlier that your children enjoyed eating pizza, and that is sort of the primary reason that I was calling. I am an investigative journalist, and I'm looking into the McDonald's pizza program, and it seems you worked there during the heyday of McDonald's pizza, which was in the late 1980s and early 1990s.
Yeah.
I know that your job was primarily the morning shift, cleaning up after the hooligans who worked over the evening, but did you witness any of the pizza making while you were there?
No, not at all. Only thing is I heard of it. That's about it. And I don't think it ever materialized. I think it did. They did try it in other places. And I don't know. I don't think it panned out. But I don't know where they tried it. Now, Brian, are you familiar with McDonald's having Hamburger University program?
No, Hamburger University? Is this an Ivy League?
Yeah. No. It's like a five-day course in Oak Brook. If you Google Hamburger University, you'll see what I'm telling you about. But there is a school that McDonald's sends their people to. Anybody in their management went to Hamburger University.
Oh, my.
And... Yeah.
Do you believe that perhaps they taught courses in pizza making at the time?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure, truly. I'm not sure. I don't think so. But then again, that's a long time ago, and I don't recall that at all.
I see.
Truly. But if you Google Hamburger University, you'll see, and there are Hamburger universities in Europe, and beautiful, beautiful buildings. Shanghai, for instance, has a beautiful building. If that's all Hamburger U, that's amazing. I wouldn't be surprised, but they have in Shanghai, and they have in Munich, and a few other places in Europe.
When McDonald's was serving pizza at other McDonald's and not yours, did you hear from any disgruntled customers asking, for example, where is the pizza, or perhaps give me the pizza, or if they were very rude, something like, I need pizza right now?
No, never did. Because they never, if they tried it, and I guess maybe they did somewhere else, it was never in our area. Don't forget, McDonald's was all over, you know, all over. Even at that time.
Certainly.
The man I worked for, he had 13 stores. He owned 13 stores.
I see. Were there any other menu items that came and went while you were working there that perhaps didn't last for one reason or another?
Well, the McRib sandwich. Now, I can tell a story about the McRib that I remember. Now, McRib just came back for the holidays. And they bring it back, and then they take it away. I don't know if it's still being sold or not, But the McRib is a boneless pork sandwich. Are you familiar?
Oh, yes, I am familiar with the McRib. I don't know why anyone would want to eat ribs from McDonald's. It's not their specialty.
That's true, but there was a problem with the McRib. Somebody claimed that in their McRib, in the ground of pork or whatever, there was pieces of a rat.
Oh, my goodness.
Ground up, they saw. And it was a lawsuit, you know. And soon after that, you didn't see the McRib for quite a while.
While they figured out how to take the rat out of it?
I guess so. Or they think people have forgot about it or don't know about it. But if you Google, again, McDonald's, you will see about, they called it in the day, a McRat sandwich.
Instead of McRib.
A McRat sandwich. And it wasn't funny, really. But, you know, people had good reason to try to sue a big corporation, just like they do today. I don't know how successful all lawsuits are, but if they could pin a lawsuit on a big corporation and get monies for whatever, for hush-hush or whatever, they were successful, I think, in those days. So when it came to the McRat sandwich or the McRib, I'm sure they hushed up that pretty fast.
So in your expert opinion, do you believe that McDonald's is quite good at hushing things up that they want hushed up?
Oh, I think so. I could tell you, not necessarily about food, but a manager they had there, and they had many managers. Managers did come and go. They didn't necessarily get fired or leave, but they moved them around. So this guy that I worked for, this man, you know, he had a lot of stores, so he moved his managers around many times. So, and some, I guess, came new, but most of them all knew one another in some way or another from past experiences of working together. But there was this one kid, and he wasn't really a kid. He was certainly old enough to be called a manager, if you want to call him that. Some of them left a lot to be desired, some of the managers. I can't say I hated all of them. I didn't, but there were a few that I really didn't like. Anyway, this guy, he thought who he was, and he was rude and arrogant, I thought, and crude. And one day he came to work, and he put his car in the handicap parking space. And he thought he was Mr. Big Stuff. And he came in even bragging about it, because I think somebody remarked to him, hey, you're in the handicap. Oh, yeah, I know. It's okay, you know. It's fine. You know, I don't care. So,
despicable.
And he just, you know.
Pardon my harsh language, but.
Well, he was, that's the type of person he was. And I never could understand why they tolerated that nonsense. But anyway, customer came in and said, you know, there's someone in the handicapped parking space. And do you know if it's a customer or someone who works here? And I said, yeah. I said, right over there, it's his car. And I pointed to him. So I said, you could call the cops. And that's what they did. They called the cops.
Wow.
Good for them. Yeah.
Is that man currently in prison?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
No, that was a very long time ago. That was a
Oh, so he got out.
Long, huh? So yeah, no, he was never. But long after, he had a good friend there, a buddy, who was also a manager, but a much nicer fella. And one day I asked him, you know, because he got fined. And I said, you know, his name, I said, did he, you know, what happened with the handicap situation? And he said he got off. McDonald's got him off. I wasn't a happy camper to hear that.
Oh, no, that's terrible. I suppose it's like the Bard says, when it comes to handicap parking violations, it's all who you know. But unfortunately, I'm running short on time, but I have just a couple of more questions for you. So I understand that you didn't serve pizza at your particular McDonald's, but given your knowledge of the McDonald's Corporation and how they operate, Do you have any insight as to why McDonald's would want to keep it a secret why they stopped serving pizza?
No, I really don't. I really don't.
You didn't hear anything about a cover-up program or anything like that after they stopped
there? Nothing like that. Yes, nothing like that. Truly, no. When Michael asked me, I said, Michael, I truthfully don't remember having pizza at the store I worked in. And then I did remember hearing about that they were going to maybe try pizza, but it never materialized in our store.
I see. Well, I thank you very much for your candor. You have given me quite a bit of interesting information and some leads that I can follow up on. This has been an invaluable conversation. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're welcome. I had a few funny stories to tell you because I thought you were a comedian, but you sound very serious.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm very serious about my work.
Oh.
And now a word from our sponsor. You are brushing your teeth in the morning when the unthinkable happens. Your toothbrush breaks. You would travel to the nearest toothbrushery to purchase a new toothbrush, but there is one problem. You are not allowed to leave the confines of your home until the time you face trial for taking part in a violent insurrection. That is where Quip comes in. Quip will send a new toothbrush directly to you, no questions asked. As long as your postal carrier knows not to leave packages further from your door than you are physically capable of reaching while keeping your ankle bracelet inside, you can make sure your teeth are clean as you enter your plea before a federal judge. Quip. Good luck at your trial. Thank you for listening to Whatever Happened to Pizza at McDonald's. Personalized copies of my best-selling book, How to Be an Investigative Journalist, are now available. For more information, visit howtobeaninvestigativejournalist.com. And if you have not joined our Patreon, now would be an excellent time, as I have released an exclusive one-half-hour video report available only to Patreon members. To watch it, sign up at patreon.com/pizzaatmcd's. Do you know what happened to Pizza at McDonald's? Do you remember it? Please send all correspondence to pizzaatmcdonalds@gmail.com. For more information, please visit our attractive website at www.pizzaatmcdonalds.com. There you will find links to our Twitter and Instagram pages, as well as to our newsletter and Teespring store, where you may purchase quality Whatever Happened to Pizza at McDonald's merchandise. I'm Brian Thompson.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.